Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, we were cooking earlier this week.
You were?
Well, you know, the warm weather.
Well,
Monday,
yes,
Tuesday.
Absolutely. It's been finally. I'm excited. I'm glad it's here. I'll take it. I like it.
We'll see then, because the people are in such a hurry to get from your air-conditioned car to the air-conditioned house.
Yes, you're right. About the only thing I don't like about it is when we're out showing buildings or houses or properties when they're is no AC on.
Well, they've had it turned off way down to save energy.
They've had it turned off, and that is a great little tip since we're talking about the weather, is if you are trying to sell your house or building in the summer, when it's 97 to 100 out, do not turn off the AC, because people will not spend very much time in that home.
Especially if you know you're having a showing.
Exactly. If they get in and then they're out of there, the quicker they're out of there, the less likely chance you have of selling that property.
Yes.
Well, we always like to start off with our crazy real estate story. And this time we're going into the sports world a little bit there. And you've got previous New York Giants quarterback Phil Sims putting his home in New Jersey on the market. Now, interestingly enough,
I know why.
You know why?
Because he's leaving CBS. He's been bounced in favor of Tony Romo.
There you go. And so that leads to job changes and life changes lead to property changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, however, this home, crazy appreciation. His home going on the market, and it's gorgeous, $8.25 million for this lakefront property. But get this, back in 99, he only paid $1.25 million for that home. So,
like, what did he build, a harbor and docks?
Well,
and a port?
Pretty much everything that you can say there. The guest house, fitness center, wine cellar. I mean, he might as well have built an entire new home there. But absolutely very, very successful football career, and now trying to parlay that job change into quite a tidy profit off of his property there. Well, we always like to counterbalance some of those stories with what's going on locally in the real estate market. And so we look around, and we've been trying to do a better job of getting an update in the different aspects of the business. We had property management on here a couple weeks ago, kind of rotating some of that through there. And I looked at the schedule and went back through things, and it had been a while since we had our commercial agent, James Wade, on. So, James, we got you out of meetings and into the studio briefly. How's everything going on the commercial side of the business?
You know, life is good. It's funny. I'm sitting here listening to you talk about turning on the air conditioning, and it reminds me, in my world and your world, there's not any great silver bullet magic. I'm the only person in the world that does this. It's just doing the simple things right. it's the same in commercial that it is in residential. It's just taking care of people and doing things right.
Absolutely. And we see that happening. And I know last time we had you on the show, there was a couple projects you were working on that could not yet be talked about or released, and now there's signage out and that's out there. And so I know I always like to give people a good example of something that's gone on and how a building ends up getting filled. But you recently did a project that I drive by daily, and when I'm commuting back and forth that I see. But you were involved. There was a brand new building that went up at Queensgate, and you worked with the owners of that building. Tell me a little bit about how that project materialized.
You know, it's two brothers, long time clients, recently featured in the Journal of Business. Really top-notch folks, fun to work with. They owned a little bit of land on Queensgate in Richland. We'd put it up for sale, didn't get it sold, and decided, you know, let's just go ahead and build a building there. So they've built a little over a 9,000 square foot building, and they've been spoiled. I have to confess, they've been spoiled because the building is not finished and it is fully leased at some very attractive lease rates for them. And in fact, we had 3/4 of the building leased before the concrete had hardened on the foundations. So if you build the right thing in the right place, good things happen.
Wow. Yeah, and I do see now, it looks like from the signage up there, you've got Oasis Physical Therapy expanding over there with another location. And then new, I think, to the Tri-Cities market, Orange Theory Fitness going in there.
Yep. Oasis is a longtime client. I don't know how many locations we've done together, and they were looking for a location, so I partnered them with my other clients who wanted to do a building in exactly the spot that they wanted to be. Orange Theory is new to the market, working with a local broker they've done a lot of business with, and he and I put our heads together and said, let's put them in that location, and worked out a nice arrangement for them. And now we're just finishing up a lease with a financial planning firm that will go in the middle space. The building is full, and
you're off to the races.
On to the next project.
Well, fantastic. And it's really fun to see how you work with the clients and take care of those details. You know, I'm in the office. I see you in there with those meetings and what goes on there. But I know a lot of times there's a lot that goes on with a new building like that in the negotiations. But then it goes past just negotiations. In the commercial world, which I think is sometimes a little bit different, when you have a brand new space like that, what happens after the negotiations? What's the next step in that process that maybe the general public doesn't see or doesn't know about?
Well, you're basically building a building, and you're building it out to the specifications of the guy that wants to use it. So it's fairly important to them that the building gets done in a schedule that they've got their openings and planning built around, and it's real important to them that the building is built out in their interior space exactly the way they need it. So you end up talking to their IT people in New Jersey, you end up talking to their human resources guy in California, and all of those people that have to do with opening an office, because it's really important that you hit the date that you said you were going to have them in there, because all of their publicity, all of their planning, all of their staffing is geared around that one date. And we want them to be happy. We want them to have a long-term relationship with our clients, like I have a long-term relationship with them that's happy, and they go, and then this is happening with one of the tenants in that building. They said, well, okay, we're just about ready to open here. We'd like to open another one. Could you build us a building?
Yeah.
Heck yes.
Absolutely. And that's great. I see you have a lot of that where you do have multiple transactions with, you know, with the same client. I think especially in, you know, being able to look at both sides of the business. Sometimes people buy a house, and then unless they're an investor, they're probably not going to do much in the next 5 or 6 years, or they're likely to be in that house 5 or 6 years, where you could finish up a project with a client like that and potentially have 3, 4, 5 more projects going right away as soon as that next one's done.
You know, that particular client on the Queensgate building, we've got another project under construction that we started on a couple of years ago. We've got this building almost full, and we're looking at, and we have a third one out at the Richland Airport for another client. So we will be on project number 4 simultaneously with the same folks.
That is a fantastic, fantastic relationship and good information. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit for our listeners and go to the other side of the coin out there that I see you really do a great job with a lot of our clients at the Kenmore team. And that is, somebody's thinking about starting a business. Maybe they're going to, you know, open a new flower shop or a new brewery or something like that. That client, they're driving down the road, they've heard you on the radio, and they're like, oh man, this guy works with all these investors and they build buildings. What about that person that needs to establish their first new business? What's that process going to look like, and how do you work with those folks?
You know, it's an honor to work with a startup of any type, and it's a responsibility, because it's really important that we be right on that first time out of the chute, because our margin for error is going to be smaller than the fourth and fifth location that we do. So it's a great level of trust. It's a tremendous amount of planning. Meeting with some clients earlier today that are a startup, that they're going into another client's building out on Road 90 that we're doing, and took a look at, they had a lot of demographic data that's readily available on some of the services that we use as commercial brokers. And I shared with them too, you know, why don't you go to the school data and look at the school district data? And they kind of looked at me like, well, we don't have any kids and kids aren't going to be buying our project. And I said, well, true, but you will be able to find out what the free and subsidized lunch count for that school that's near you looks like. So you know what really the demographic within walking distance of your building is going to be. And that was a new idea to them. And it just, having been around the block a time or two, knowing where all the data sources are, gathering all of that data so your client makes the absolute best decision they can make, is, like I said earlier, it's an honor and it's a responsibility to make sure you get it right.
Yeah, that's good information. With the way businesses fail, new businesses, and those success rates, when you look at the national averages, I see what you mean by trust level, because you're picking a location that you think will be good for somebody and giving them advice and helping with that, and maybe helping them avoid a huge mistake that they could possibly make early on.
Yeah, when they pick a location, they're there for a while, so you really want to have it right.
Good. James, that's good information. I do know that you have a couple listings out there. Do you have any particular one property you want to get some additional information out about that you think is a good fit for certain people?
You know, I've got a property that is for sale and also has space available for lease. So I'm going to talk about 3180 West Clearwater, Clearwater Plaza, just in back of Sterling's off of Clearwater in Kennewick, 42,000 square foot retail center for sale for $4.3 million. Nice return on investment, nice cap rate, well-maintained property. We're pushing 90% occupancy, so you've got a little bit of space left to get some upside, but it's cash flowing now. And in that space, we've got retail space available for $1 a foot per square foot gross, so no triple nets, no common area maintenance. And that's a real competitive lease rate for good retail space that parks and has ample parking, is well lit, and all those things we want to see. Can I do one more?
Yeah, I'll let you do two. We've got some time in here today.
Really putting a push on 1440 Jadwin. It's a restaurant building. It was remodeled from a former Shucks. It's open clear span in the middle, so it can be whatever you want it to be. And what it is right now is a restaurant. They have some pretty exciting business opportunities that they'd like to move on to, and they would like to sell that building and would include the existing business in it if you wanted it, including all the equipment. But what they really want to do is get onto that next opportunity. So we're pushing 1440 Jadwin.
Sounds good. What is the price on 1440 Jadwin? You don't want to say, do you? I love it.
I want to say it's $750, but we can talk.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, it's a great building. I've been by it, and that part of Richland is growing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more activity going on down there. A lot of the schools, you were talking about schools in an earlier segment, huge amount of money that Richland has put into remodeling those schools.
They're working on Jefferson right now.
Exactly. Not very far from there. And so whenever you see those big, bright new school buildings with millions of dollars of investment that go in, we see that kind of lift up those values in the surrounding areas. James, thanks again for being on the show. People, you can go to kenmoreteam.com. You can click on our commercial link. You can get straight to James. As always, send us a message, and we'd love to get you hooked up with them to help also with your commercial needs. James, thanks for being on the show, and we'll have you right back here again next month if you're willing to come back.
Always a pleasure.
All right, take care. And after the break, we are going to dig into a controversial Zillow subject.
Ooh.
That has come up with a little thing called instant offers.
You're going to want to stick around for that right here on News Talk 870.
Rockin' and go by. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. In our first segment there, we were getting an update from commercial broker James Wade at the Kenmore team in the commercial division. Talked a little bit about what was going on that side of the industry. We're going to switch gears a little bit here in the second segment. And we have been getting a lot of questions, and there's been a lot of press out there lately about some new stuff that is going on with the big housing website Zillow.
Yes, I've even seen ads on TV.
Absolutely. And Zillow is what it is it's always been considered a technology and a media company in the real estate sector. Over the last 10 years, they've done an incredible job of originally started as I was very fortunate earlier this week as I was able to have a presentation and sit down in front of a Zillow rep here in town, and we were able to ask some questions about some things that are going on at the association and stuff that is being considered in the realtor community. But it was interesting as he talked about originally when they started is they wanted to be basically an acquirer and presenter of all property information, not just homes that were in the MLS, not just homes that were for sale, but all properties. And that's where the famous Zestimate came about that people talk about, where Zillow took and they developed an algorithm of all of this data. And they tried to estimate the current market value of potentially every residential home in America. I mean, that's what they that's the craziness of the project that they took on. And it's morphed into a lot of different things over the years. But one of the things that has happened is as that started to gain traction, as people started to look at those numbers, they basically started to gather to where now they have 60 to 65% of online market share of controlling that traffic from residential real estate consumers. Once they had garnered that traffic, then, as they said, they're a media company and a technology company, they were able to sell advertising. When you have that many people looking at a site, realtors like myself and others get very excited about the potential of getting in front of those customers. Hence, they were then able to, because of that project and what they did, they were then able to garner those advertising type dollars and start to produce revenue in that case.
Now, not entirely unlike Facebook. It's the same kind of idea. If you've got enough eyeballs in front of a website, you're going to be able to monetize it.
That's exactly right. And then as they started to monetize that, of course, when you get bigger and bigger, there's a lot of controversy that comes along with that. Are the Zestimates always accurate? No, absolutely not. In areas where there's a lot of the same model of home that is sold, the estimate becomes very, very accurate. For instance, if you go out to
a lot of comps,
if you go out to West Pasco, where Ajo built 2,000 of the same model, and you have an 1,100 square foot Ajo built Rambler, man, Zillow's really good about nailing that price within a couple hundred bucks.
Wow.
They've just got it down in those areas. Now, you get off the beaten path a little bit. You add some acreage. You add a custom-built home that might be a little nicer than the homes a block or two away.
Try Harris Avenue in Richland. I grew up in North Richland.
Absolutely. Well, now
every home is different.
Now the statistical algorithms starts to run into some problems where it doesn't know that how much difference it is to have the dock there on Harris, or if you don't have a dock, what the difference in the value is. There's things in that algorithm that it can't quite account for. But all things aside and controversies aside for what it can't account for, is that has been the case to what Zillow was doing. There was a little bit of an uproar in the realtor community because a couple weeks ago, Zillow added what's called an instant offer in certain test markets. So what they were doing is they were basically partnering up with institutional investors, big investors, and then allowing people that wanted to, you could go on Zillow and you could say, you know what, I don't want to go through all the hassle. I don't want to list my house. I don't want to put it on my... I'll just get an instant offer from Zillow. And so then they were allowing these institutional investors to give an instant offer on the property to the client. The realtor community started to think that this infringed in many, many ways on that process and were even challenging some of the legalities of that. However, after talking with the Zillow rep, there were a couple things that weren't publicized in a lot of the news articles that we were reading. One of those being that they were forcing the institutional investors to have representation through an agent. So to make that instant offer, they had to be working with a broker. Now, of course, some of the questions they couldn't answer at this meeting was what were the qualifications to ensure there was a broker working with that institutional investor? What was the vetting process like? So we got some answers, but we didn't get necessarily all of the answers that we were asking from the realtor community side.
Yet another reason why you deal with a carbon-based life unit who has experience.
Absolutely. And the requirement was not there for the seller to have to be using a real estate professional or a licensed agent. So once again, you then have a seller that's in an unrepresented situation. One of the things that was talked a lot about in the meeting and as some of the news articles that I've read over the course of the last couple weeks was, is this a stepping stone for Zillow to become a brokerage? Will they eventually become a national mega brokerage where they're actually transacting those files? Now, currently, the stance of Zillow is absolutely not. In fact, in the meeting with their rep, they said, we do not want to become a brokerage. Now, if I lined up 10 or 15 realtors in the room and started asking that question, they're probably going to laugh at me with that response and say, you believe that. You don't know. And I think a lot of times, maybe even Zillow doesn't know. They could be positioning themselves to take advantage of those situations. And, you know, someday they might become one of my bigger competitors in town. We just don't know. But they have a lot of tools and options and data at their discretion that people in the industry feel like that could be the next logical step. So it's a very interesting process, a double-edged sword when you look at a company that has traditionally been serving realtors in that capacity, but then in certain cases maybe start to infringe on that line from serving to competing. And so when you have that, there's a lot of different issues that come up. It makes for a very interesting radio show topic, yeah. McKay. So,
well, I think Century 21 or Remax on mega steroids.
Yes, absolutely. And so you start to look at what they've done and what they've been able to do. Now, granted, it has cost them a lot of money to get to that. I mean, for years they were losing, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, the investment made to take on a project of that scale is an incredible investment.
Enormous.
And to think that they've now got the numbers we were given at the presentation were they've now got that Zestimate down to 5 to 7% accuracy in most markets across the entire nation. Okay, that's a huge deal. I mean,
and
a huge accomplishment, and something that was done and cataloged and taken care of, and that's constantly being refining. So the biggest thing that we're always looking at as we look with our clients and how to better serve them is, what can we do to help our buyers and help our sellers? And in many cases, there's a lot of things on Zillow that can be helpful. That, you know, it can give you an idea. It can give you basic information about a house. It's a very user-friendly site. Their interface, one of the reasons why they've had so much success, is it's really almost second to none as far as usability. So those are the good things about it. The bad things about it is it could potentially be costing a seller or a buyer thousands and thousands of dollars if they're solely depending upon that data information
source.
That's
why you use a wide variety of tools and resources, and you don't stick all your eggs in one basket.
Absolutely the case, because we hear a lot of folks that say, well, you know, I just looked up what my Zestimate was. I put it on the market for that. I put it on Zillow for 10 days, and, you know, it didn't sell. And so one of the things we can talk about is, okay, well, here's why. Here's what the comparables look like. Here's why you got what you got. Mm-hmm. These are indicators that can help us, but we need to look at these seven other spokes that are giving us information. What are the schools like? What are the roads like? What are the most recent comps that they don't know about? What are those like? You know, what is the, you know, potential new commercial development coming to the area that we don't know about, but we as agents do because we have access to that information in our commercial department?
Like what James was talking about.
Exactly. So utilizing a very multifaceted strategy with a realtor that has local knowledge is going to end up saving thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm going to be very, very interested to track this issue, to keep you guys as listeners, as I see things pop up about it, to keep you informed with what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But it is a very interesting avenue, which potentially 3 to 6% of sellers out there might actually end up utilizing something like this. It'll be really interesting to see if this rolls out of the 3 or 4 test markets that they're in, and we are not one of those, but but in those test markets, to see how that program works. I'll keep you apprised if we start to see things like that roll out on a national scale. So, fun presentation to go to this week. Good information in the real estate world coming out of that, and we're staying on top of those tools so we can best help our customers. If you've thought about listing or buying a home in the next 30 days, please let us know. The market is changing rapidly. We're seeing a lot of different things happen at the same time. Go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we'd be glad to help. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.